Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
What does a dad do to help his daughter when he shares custody with an emotionally unstable ex? We'll talk about this and a whole lot more on this week's podcast. How can I help our daughter when her mother is emotionally unstable? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family that you work for every single day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We're all going to benefit from your questions, so come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, click on either For Families or For Treatment Programs, then click on any podcast, scroll down to the end where it says Submit Your Question and enter it there. Hey, why not do it today? And while you're there, you can download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. Okay, please remember, this podcast is for educational purposes only. It's not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Well, today we're hearing from Michael. And Michael writes, I'm divorced and my ex-wife and I share custody of our 8-year-old daughter. It was a difficult divorce with my ex making many accusations against me. But things have settled down and the court has realized that my ex is not a stable individual and that her accusations are baseless. If I told you stories about her behavior, you might not believe me. Anything can upset her, and when she goes off, she's out of control. My daughter realizes that her mother has emotional issues. If we're watching a movie, she might see a crazy character and say, "That's like Mom." Or she might see an advertisement for a calming product and say, "We should get that for Mom." I have two questions. First, what will the impact of having an emotionally unstable mother have on our daughter? And second, how should I respond to her comments, my daughter's comments, he means, without turning her against her mother or revealing my own feelings towards her? Okay, thanks for your question, Michael. It's a situation I need to address commonly, so let's take a look. First of all, I really appreciate that you want to avoid putting your feelings and your experiences on your daughter. That's often difficult, and yet it's so important for your daughter. Our kids have their own burdens, and they don't need ours as well. As you describe it, you had false accusations made against you, and you've had to fight for custody and your parental rights, so it ain't easy to separate out your feelings after going through all that and then being civil and gracious in your communication. But cheers to you, Michael, for aspiring to that. No one does it perfectly, but you're going for doing the right thing by your daughter. And I'll add that you're doing the right thing for yourself as well. When we hold on to our anger and seek retribution in these situations, it keeps us stuck in the past and keeps fueling the fire of the negativity and very often impacts your ex's behavior very negatively. And what we really need to do is engage the present and move towards our future. Go to acceptance of what's been and see what we can do about creating something more positive. And that means dealing with challenges of all kinds with objectivity, intelligence, and skill. No problem, right? Now, your daughter's mother will be one of those challenges for you for the foreseeable future. So, you'll need a strategy that will minimize drama and get to the best outcomes as efficiently as possible. Your daughter's at an age where she can begin to see and evaluate what's appropriate and reasonable and what isn't, and now she's starting to wonder about what to do about it. Can she fix it? Can you fix it? Of course she can't, neither can you, but there are ways to maximize health for your daughter, also for her mother and for you. Even after divorce, the three of you are take this in, still a family. A divorced family, but a family all the same. So one question you can ask yourself when facing any situation is, how shall I address this in a way that is healthiest for the family? You might not want to think of it as your family, Michael, but your daughter, her mother, and you are your daughter's family, and you want what's best for your daughter's family. Does that make sense? So let's look at your first question. What impact will having an emotionally unstable mother have on your daughter? Well, it'll have an impact, but there is no way, of course, to know exactly because there are so many variables involved, including how emotionally unstable is she? What's your daughter's temperament like? Is she sensitive and reactive or more on the easygoing side? Are there positive elements in her relationship with her mom? I mean, her mom could be unstable, but there could be lots of positives as well. Is her school experience positive and supportive? Is there a positive social context for her, such as sports, clubs, extended family on either or both sides? Are the differences of opinion between her mother and you kept away from her? For instance, if you want to take her on a vacation and her mother isn't agreeing to it, does she know that and is she put in the middle? Or is it kept between you and her mom? So these are a lot of variables, but the bottom line is that having a parent who is emotionally unstable will affect a child and will affect a teen in their emotional, social development. It'll affect their self-esteem and their sense of self. Now, as an ex-husband, you can't fix that. So it will be your daughter's dilemma to deal with. Your challenge is how to provide the support and validation your daughter needs to manage it as she grows up. Kids who grow up in a divorced family where the hostility between parents is palpable do predictably quite poorly. Kids who grow up with support and validation and a minimum of hostility do much better. The fact of your daughter having a dad who is active in her life and is emotionally validating and supportive will go a long way to helping her be resilient and be able to grow and thrive. So that's the good news. Now, for your second question, how should I respond to her comments without turning her against her mother or revealing my own feelings towards her? Well, that's another very important question. I love your questions. We know it's wrong to put a child or a teenager in the middle because they need to love both their mother and their father, and we don't want to stress their loyalty. But equally important is that if we respond to our children's feelings and problems with our own thoughts and feelings, we'll miss the opportunity to acknowledge theirs. And that is such an important thing for kids. When we listen, when we take in and respond with interest and empathy, we're telling our youth that their thoughts and their feelings matter, that they as people matter, not as children, but as people. We're meeting their emotional needs. And when kids get their emotional needs met, they feel known, they feel accepted, and they feel acceptable. That way, they'll be better at solving problems, establishing healthy boundaries for themselves, and they'll be better at making healthy choices. Youth who are emotionally supported and get their emotional needs met are overall more resilient in the face of adversity and have better overall mental health. Less anxiety, less depression. So Michael, let's say your daughter says, Mom was talking to Grandma on the phone last night, and boy, did she get angry. Now, rather than say, yeah, those two really set each other off, they're two peas in a pod, which a lot of folks might want to say, you might ask, what was that like for you? Then you might hear, it was really scary when she kicked the chair over. I'll go through a dialogue here. And then Dad says, wow, that does sound scary. What did you do then? I ran to my room and got under my covers. Well, that was smart. What happened then? I just read my books, and then Mom came in. She got mad because I didn't brush my teeth or get in my PJs. I didn't want to say it was because I was scared, so I just brushed and got in my PJs and went to bed. Gee, I'm sorry you had to deal with that, sweetie, but what a good job you did dealing with it. How are you feeling about it now? Kind of mad. I don't like it when Mom gets like that. Yes, that really is upsetting. What do you think you should do about it now? I don't know. If I talk to Mom about it, she'll just say it's Grandma's fault. I see your point. But if you tell Mom your feelings, at least you'll be saying them, and then Mom can know how you feel. She can know how these things affect you. Maybe I'll try. Well, thanks for sharing your feelings with me. I like knowing your feelings, the good ones and the bad ones too. You get the idea, Michael? If you're wondering if you should take any action on a situation like this beyond hearing her feelings, well, that's a judgment call where you don't want to talk to her mother and have her mother get mad at your daughter for quote-unquote telling on her. You could ask your daughter if she'd like you to talk with her mother about it, or if she would be okay with you talking to her mother about the incident. That way she won't feel betrayed if her mom gets upset with her. So listeners, parents and therapists, whomever you are, whether you are a divorced family or an intact family, if you are the emotionally healthier parent, while the other parent is commonly emotionally dysregulated or emotionally unstable, you can keep a couple of principles in mind. Do your best to stay in partnership with the other parent. Listen and empathize with your child or teen's feelings. Have a place for yourself to get your own support and validation that will lessen the temptation to express those feelings to your child. If you are concerned about your child or teenager's ability to develop well with an emotionally unstable parent, find a therapist they can see for a while. And then they can return to therapy as things come up or as needed once they've built a relationship. And it would be good for them to establish a therapeutic relationship before adolescence. That way, the healthy support and guidance is there for them during those predictably challenging years. So thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and special thanks to you, Michael, for your very important question. If you're a therapist who works in a behavioral health treatment program and would like to talk with me about improving outcomes in your program, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and shoot me an email or give me a call. I'll be happy to talk with you, and please, especially during the stress of the holiday season, take care of yourselves. You know you need it. Do you know you deserve it? And you know what else? You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.